So good afternoon. Welcome back, everybody. This is our monthly conversation where we're going to be taking a look at a number of WordPress plugins that are very specific in terms of what they do, but they're very helpful for those of you who do client work. Now, most of the time, I'm not going to bring out plugins that, you know, create a great design or, you know, do custom unique outputs of content. What I'm looking for in these plugin radar are those plugins you would use on random clients who have a specific need. So I'm not just trying to say, here's some great plugins. I'm trying to say, here's a number of plugins that you should basically just put in your toolbox, remember that it's there, so that when you get that client, you will remember, you know what? I've got that. I know where to go find that. I've got something that can work for that. So we're going to be jumping through. You can grab the handout there in the chat room at wpstudio.com/chat. And if you have any questions, go ahead and you can pop them in the chat room or something like that. So the first plugin we're going to be looking at is there are a lot of clock plugins. And so like if you were to actually just type in clocks, you are going to get a ton of clocks that do all sorts of things, whether they're countdowns or whether they're whatever. But sometimes we just need to be able to say, you know what? I need a clock that regardless of what I have in terms of the setting for my site or my server, where you know you set a time zone and you have all this stuff, a lot of those plugins, if you just search clocks, it will respond to the time zone that's set here. There is a very new plugin, and it's called MX Time Zone Clocks. It is very new that you have to search. I would do MX space time space zone, and you should be able to find it. Now, when you activate it, you are given, basically, it's a short code builder. So this will allow you to use this type of a clock wherever you want. So basically, this setting page has a bunch of different options, and at the end, it gives you a short code. So now you have a plugin that, regardless of what the server setting is, regardless of what the WordPress setting is, you have the ability to customize every aspect of the clock. Now, you can choose any, and they've got a lot of great designs so that maybe you guys don't need to sit there and design a clock, or both the analog, and then they have a whole bunch of digital clocks. Now, when you choose a digital clock, basically, you're going to just get the digital look, and then you basically it's a div that will show up that you can style it however you want. But let's just make it easy. We'll grab a clock with arrows. We can come over here and say, you know what, this is let's find a old school looking. So whenever you click on it, the JavaScript is going to update down here. So it grabs the clock face here. But it does more than that. So first off, if you need to know which time zone you're in, you can actually click on the time zone DB, and it has a nice listing of all the time zones. And you want this actual here, this time zone name. You have to use the time zone name. You're not going to be doing UTC 10:30. You're going to see why, because remember, if you're using 10 and 10, there's two different time zones, and sometimes it might have, you know, if you're in the US, sometimes you might have a daylight savings time attached to that time zone. Sometimes you may not. So we need to find what we're looking for. So if we want to make sure we're doing Vienna, Austria in Europe, we're going to come over here and just paste that in there, Vienna, Austria. Okay, so that short code has already been updated. And we'll just go ahead and say Vienna. It is, that's going to be our city. You want to use the 12-hour format, 24-hour format. Now, if you're just using the clock, you're going to see the clock. You're wondering, why do we need the 12-hour format? You're going to see why when it outputs it. Again, you can also change the language, which is really great because sometimes you may actually have a travel agent who wants you to create, you know, those 6 or 8 clocks that go across, that show the different time zones. So what we want to do is, if we were going to go over here and check out our language of whatever we want to do, you know, we come over here and, I'll go ahead and use English. We'll just make it easy. You can actually change whatever you want. And then you can show date, month, year. You're going to see why. So let's go ahead and grab this. We're going to grab our short code, copy it, and let's go to a widget. We'll just make it super simple. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to just grab a text widget. We'll put that right at the top. I always like to make sure I paste things in the text editor. Sometimes when you paste it into a visual editor, it's not going to work as well. All right, so let's now jump on over to the site, and we can see that now we have, not only do you have a nice little time clock running, you do have the time, you do have the city, you have the date. Remember, you can turn this off. You can turn the 24-hour time to a 12-hour time. You don't have to display this. You can just have the clock. But this makes it super easy to have multiple clocks for whatever reason that a client might want. And because it's a short code, you can put it anywhere. So that's, again, easy to use. Nothing is saved. You make your changes, and it updates the short code over here. And then you put it wherever you want. So that's the time zone one. The next one is one that I want you to be aware of. The developer of this, it's his first plugin he's developed, and he and I talked because I had some questions about it. Now, Paul, it was using the 24 hours because I believe over here I had not set it. Because you actually need to press something so it actually updates. We can check the widget just to make sure. Oh, interesting. 12. So there is a tiny little bit of an issue, looks like. Again, most of the plugins that I'm sharing with you are first releases, so I'm sure there's going to be updates that will fix that. Okay, so the next plugin, and there, I want you to watch this one because it can, it might be a helpful tool for you in the future. It may not, but right now it sets everything to Nigeria because that's where he's from. So he has to update the code. He's already got the fix going and pushing it to the WordPress repo. Let me show you what this is. Now, this will add a Google Trends. This is a great plugin for those of you who do a lot of blogging, and maybe you have websites for clients or that you manage or your own sites, but you want to make sure that you're current. Maybe you're talking about whatever is trending all the time. Maybe one of your blog posts each day is something that you're targeting, something about the trending. Or in your blog post, wouldn't it be great if you can make a reference, an illustration about things that people are already trending, searching for? Now this Google Trends for Bloggers plugin will not work with Gutenberg, which is, I think, a cool little feature that I think we're going to see a lot. I don't know if it's cool, but this is a feature we're going to start to see a lot more with plugin developers. They are going to say, this plugin does not work with Gutenberg, or they say this plugin requires Classic Editor, or whatever the class, or whether you use Disable Gutenberg. If you activate this Google Trends for Bloggers plugin, and you don't have Classic Editor because you're using Gutenberg, you're not going to see anything. You're going to think the plugin is broken. But as long as you have both of these activated, you go to the posts, you click Add New, and guess what? You have your daily search sitting there, the top Google Trends of what people are looking for. So as you're writing, you don't have to go anywhere. You might be able to see where you're looking for. See, this is the problem. Right now, it's currently hard-coded to Nigeria. So once he fixes that, and one of his fixes, he does have the ability for you to change what your locations are or what area you're trying to fine-tune for. And once he does that, it'll be a much more beneficial plugin. But just keep that in the mind, because it's a very low key, low overhead, but can be a very helpful way of, rather than going over to Google Trends, you'll get it right there in your blog post. Another one that is a really cool plugin that I think some of you, whether you have nonprofits, whether you have religious groups, whether you just have a community that hates the toxicity of the internet, is something called Compassionate Comments. How many of you have found this one? It's an early release for this. Now, what Compassionate Comments does, I'm going to actually pull up the details. Whoa. Hold on. The Windows machine that I am using just said, oh, we've got an awesome update. Do you want us to start the update and restart your computer? Okay. Ugh. So if I disappear, it's simply, I'll be right back. It's because for whatever reason, this computer decided to restart. So this Compassionate Comments, Google uses what's called a perspective API. That's what they've been calling it. It's something that analyzes the content of what's written, and it scores it based on whether they're using toxic words, whether they are mean, whether they're using harassing elements. And so what it will do is, if somebody goes to try and, like, I disagree, you're an idiot, when they go to hit submit the comment, it looks like your comment could be likely interpreted to be rude or disrespectful. Would you like to edit your comment? Or you can submit it anyway. It's an interesting way to possibly, especially when, if you have a website where language issue may lead to a misinterpretation of somebody's comment, it is a pretty cool tool. Now, what you have to do is a little bit more complex. The nice thing about this plugin is they walk you through everything you need. So you need a free perspective API key. And you can learn how to get one. So you sit there and get one for free. And it's a step-by-step where you go to the Google Cloud Console, create a free application, a free project, go to that API, enable it, you generate the API, and then it will give you a key that will look like, whoops, let's go back over here. It'll look like this. Now, again, it's very helpful for the team that's building this is very helpful in terms of support, because I asked them about this. And then the other thing is, you can choose how sensitive your site is going to be. So as you begin moving down, what's really awesome, and this comes directly from Google, this is why again, careful, because the language for the examples can get a little graphic. So if you set it at 95%, if somebody says, "Why don't you leave my articles alone, you spiteful little shit," then that's going to trigger and say, "You're being insensitive. Maybe you should rewrite your post." I'm a little afraid. Okay. You get the idea. So here's where, I mean, you can also use this plugin to go and see how insensitive am I? Because if you say, "Oh, that's what my normal comment would be, I'm a 48% toxic person." Not that I'm saying that's what you should use this plugin for, but you can choose how sensitive your, it will trigger the Perspective API to pop that window open and prevent the stuff. And then you can go through in here and say, are we going to store the comments on Perspective API? This allows basically, again, GDPR is going to have an issue with this. But if you're not having stuff, if you're not dealing with Europe and everything else, or if you are, you may actually have to remember to go in and delete things because this is being stored on the Google API. And if you use this Compassionate Comments plugin, you need to update your privacy policy or your cookie thing, because now you have a new API you're using. And it's in the Google Cloud, so you need to say that you're using the Perspective API and that comments may or may not be stored in the cloud for the future development and enhancement of our comment moderation. So there's ways to word those. But I put this out there because many of you do have opportunities to do electoral election websites for different campaigns. You may have nonprofits. You may work with religious groups. And all those things tend to attract either misinterpretation or angry comments. And again, we're going to have clients who say, "I must have comments. I want to have interaction." Well, this could be one way that you can prevent some of the toxic stuff. And, you know, the interesting thing was, side note, the Perspective API was I thought, going to be one of the things that set Google Plus apart, because it was built to be a checker for interactions on Google Plus. But like Google always does, if they don't see the money in the end of it, they're going to kill whatever project they're doing. But I guess that's better than charging, what, $1,000 for a monitor stand? I guess that's the current joke about Apple. All right, so let's go to the next one. I'm sure many of you could see that there are possibilities for that Compassionate Comments. So the next one is for those people who have music's sites or church sites where they're sharing music. One of the harder things to do is share chord charts. Chord charts are basically just the lyrics of a song with the names of the chord being used for guitar, piano, whatever. Well, WP Chords, great implementation that makes it super easy. Now you're going to notice that chord charts doesn't have any special setting in here. So I'm going to put this in here. Let me drag this over so you can see it. So chord charts is here. And so basically you're going to be putting things in a short code. I believe it's going to make an easier sense if I turn on Classic Editor, because it's just easier to see it in implementation. Okay, so Classic Editor, great. Add a new page. So again, there's nothing here, but if I said new song and we come over here, text here, I don't think they have a, oh, they do have it here. Just going to open this up. They do have a slight setting. So you can actually see that, okay, just wrap everything that you're going to do with WP chords, the short code, and then when you're done, close it. So when you want to, you know, create whatever you want, here's an example. This is the sample. It's going to create your chord chart. But here's the great thing. You can transpose. So you want to go up. Okay, it's going to change the chord chart. Go down. You want to increase the font size. Great. If you want to say, okay, we're going to play it in the key of E, it automatically is going to transpose. And this is, you know, I think a great little tool for anybody who doesn't want to pay tons of money. There are a lot of chord chart systems for bands, groups that are sharing music. But they can be expensive to license. This one has just taken all the licensing needs out because you're going to be writing the lyrics and you just wrap where the chord should appear. Notice how when this lyric, the E, again, let's put it back in A so you see. So the A goes up right above AL. So it's A and then there's no space. You have the al contrario D. And then right after the G, it's going to show here, D. And so based on whether you put space or not space, that's how it treats each line. Very simple. And again, you can then use it in custom post types. You can use it in pages. You can use it in posts. And you can choose whether or not they have transposition, font changes, however you want. So just keep that in the back of your mind. It is a simple solution for whatever you might need. Okay, so this next one is a plugin that tries to do a lot. So it's another one to keep your mind or your eyes on. It's called WP Search Filter. So WP Search Filter is here. It's a very, you will not find it if you do add new WP search filter. It does not show up on like, I think 11 pages I tried to flip through. So what I had to do is I clicked on the link that I shared with you in the handout and I downloaded it to the computer and then I uploaded it to the site. Again, he just released it 5 days ago. It's at a very early version. But I wanted to show you this one because once we set this up and we have a search filter system, I can come over here. My search options, it basically allows you to change the default search page and choose a certain filter that you're going to use in the default. So use in the default search. Use that filter, set this page is going to be the default search page. So you can change all that. But let's talk about the different filters. So in our filter that we create, take a look at this. This search filter now says, all right, when they search for something, which post types do we want to pull from? Great. I can say posts and pages. That's what we're going to pull from. We're not going to pull from the templates. How do I want to order it? How do I want ascending, descending? My search button, what do I want to have the name for? Is it a or an end? Do I want to add my own, do I add a default text box for the search? Then, again, there's also a layout. Again, that is the default search template. But when we begin to create additional search options or different pages, we will have other layouts show up. When I add an entry, search UI, I can then say, you know what? Okay, post formats. Pull that up. I'm just going to add a few item. Year for the search. Drop down, select, whatever. Okay, so before I change anything, let's just update this. And I'm going to go back to, let me see if I've got it right. Yeah, all search filters. So there's several ways to deal with this. One, I now have a short code that I can come over here. I'll go ahead and add this to this page that we were using. Publish this. Let's take a look. So now I have a search box where I can select the date. Notice how there was no post format selected yet. So that box that I chose where I'm adding additional fields isn't showing up. So now we have hello world search. Well, it already found it. Let me put it this way. Let's do end. Oh, does Hello World not have an end? One second. Hello World. Oh, Hello World doesn't even have. Hold on. Let's edit this. I need to add some content. This is a this is added content. End the Hello World page. I need to update this because I needed the word end because I actually didn't have anything in there. So let's go back to our pages. Our this one, view this page. Okay, so now I can say end. So now I get the results, search results. If you didn't know that in WordPress, if only one result is found in default WordPress search, it automatically goes to that page. That's what was happening. I was trying to make sure that you'd see the results. So let's come over here because now, again, we can edit and style. I didn't want to, hold on. This is another plugin. I jumped the gun. I'll show you that in just a moment. But this search filter, you can create any number of search filters. And basically when we create these additional, we can, let's go back to one that we already have, this one, edit. Yeah, we already have that. All right. So this is the beginning of his plugin that will allow you to create custom search fields and place them anywhere on a WordPress website, whether it is in a short code, whether it is replacing the default WordPress search pages, whether it is putting it in a widget. And you can create as many different search. I don't think search filter is the best thing. It should probably could be search forms because yes, you can filter things in, but what he's trying to do is create custom search forms that will filter out what you don't want it to do. Now, I sent a request a number of days ago and he did respond and said that they are looking at the ability for you to eliminate posts or pages from search results. So that's a good thing. And then the second thing they're looking at is to predefine if somebody types this word, this will be the top result. So you can actually have a page show up as a top result. Or a post as a top result, whatever is needed. So that should be this is something to watch. All right, so let's go to the next plugin. I have not added this one, but I want you to see Cash Buster. Cash Buster is here. Cash Buster, how many of you have ever had a client who said, I asked you to make a change to the website. You told me the change to the website happened, but I don't see it. So I think you're lying, or something like that. We all have had those clients who they've said, or that, you know, and then we've told them to hit refresh. We've told them to clear their cache, but maybe that's too difficult for them. So what we have here in this Cache Buster, where'd it go? Let's go to sample pages. Where's my Cache Buster? One second. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So this is a plugin that you will not keep on your website. So let me reference that. And so I'm going to go back to the plugin area. And then we're going to take a look at the front end of this website. So if you put Cache Buster on there, then we go to the website. What it will now do to, in the source code, view page source. Take a look at this. It's going to add a random version number to every JavaScript. What in the world? Oh, I know what was happening. Huh. I'm outputting. Hold on. Let me just fix that in the Voce 2.5. Output to a custom file. Let's get rid of all that stuff that's happening on the front end. Okay. Okay. So that got rid of all that extra junk. So every single style sheet has now all this stuff. So see how it says 8467097 for dash icons. If I revisit the page, okay, we have some weird stuff going on right now. Oh, I have to go back. So it actually added those version numbers. If you deactivate Cache Buster and reactivate Cache Buster, why doesn't that change? It should have updated. All right. That didn't work how it should have. Let me remove this. Okay, back there. Okay. I really messed up the... Hold on. Let me figure out what in the world just happened when I swapped. I may have found a bug in Voce 2.6, 2.5. Let's put it back here. Okay, there is something with writing that page. So... writing the style sheet, something happened that actually didn't load the style sheet. So I'll have to figure that out. But that's a different thing. But so all I'm saying is this cache busting plugin, I ran into another issue. This is simply going to add a modified version number. Then you tell them to visit the site. Oh, it looks different. It's changed. Then you can remove the plugin, and it's a way you've now forced, without having to go through individually and add version numbers to everything. This will add version numbers to all the plugin style sheets, all the plugin JavaScripts, all your theme stuff. And it's basically is a cache busting system that your client's browser will force update all the changes. And again, you don't keep the cache busting plugin on your site at all. All right, let me deactivate Classic Editor because I want to show you just one little thing. And even though the Gutenberg plugin, yes, it's still being developed and it's a few steps ahead of the default Gutenberg / block editor that's in WordPress 5.2 right now. But if you install this, it may help you play around with one or two of the future pieces that the automatic developers are chasing. And that's this. They now have the demo, or basically a sample of the way sidebars will work, or widget areas. So what it will look like is, great, you've got all the different sidebars that you might have on your site. So then you come over here, and it's going to operate like the block editor. So I can create this is the footer area. Great, let's update this, and I think I have it. Which one did I do? Oh, that's the footer bar section. I have that turned off. So let's come over here. Footer widget area. This is the footer widget one area. Woo. So we update this. Then we refresh our page and it's not fully working yet because that's where it should go. Okay, so maybe because it's fully experimental, it is not fully integrated. But their goal is this. The same way you in Gutenberg you use your blocks, you could use that forward slash. It opens up all the Gutenberg items where you can add in a header. Notice how it doesn't quite work exactly how you want. Things don't quite show up how it wants. Again, it's experimental. But that's the goal of rather than having standalone widgets, you would have widgets area here where we can add the archives. Notice how even in their test thing, it's having problems. But this is the direction that they're going. Rather than using this is basically going away. This widget area is going to be going away. And you'll be having more of blocks that you can add and remove from each sidebar. When it's finished, yes, right now the beta is not connected to the live item. So you're not going to be able to use it with any theme yet. Because it's not fully integrated. This is simply the example that you could play around with, not so much that it will actually add things to a site or you could manage anything from the site. Okay. So there was another plugin that you've kind of seen sitting around in a few of the screens. And it's called Stylist. Right now it's in the early version. They have not released their pro version out there. It's just another one of those systems that if you would prefer not to use the browser inspector or you want to style something by hovering over something and use WordPress like styling elements, Stylist might be a solution for you. And it operates in two or three different areas. So I'm going to show you, it will handle front end styling. And you'll see it right there on your admin area. You can style this page. So basically, it's going to open up where kind of how it looks like with page builders, where you can click on any element to style it. All right, let's click on the title. It immediately opens all the things that you could do for that. So I can open up the text. Let's change the font size. Your advanced items, where you could change the font family. Again, haven't... Oh, yes. It will open up all fonts that you have available. Eventually, you'll have the ability to do Google fonts and other things, but we can just change that there. Letter spacing, words, text transform, word wrap, everything you need. You've got your margins, you've got your padding, or you can just simply go in here and do the CSS code as it applies to this. Font size, 25 pixels. I think it should work. Oops. 55 pixels. Okay, so it's still being worked on because that's the selector that it should have worked on. But at least some of it is, okay, you set that and save. And we go back to close the style editor. And it didn't quite finish. This is stylist, yes. So again, we're in the early stages of this development. This is a very hard thing to do. So it's not an easy element, easy type of styling. And it's definitely something to watch. But this is the one thing I wanted to point out. They have a unique way of doing responsive modes. Because I can come in here and say, affects this. I can come over and say, okay, if we move the screen size over to 920, what is it looking like? As we begin moving through, these are the defined breakpoints in the theme. So you actually get to see where the defined breakpoints and transition, what are the things. So you click on each item, and the goal will be that you should be able to style it. And yes, great point, Marianne. If you click on this, like it says, click on this, you're going to get entry content paragraph. Sure, I'll try that. Entry content paragraph font size 3EM. Yeah. Oh, hey. So looks like we need to do that. Oh, it looks like if you click this, you can copy this. So I've just started playing around with it. It does seem that this could be a very useful tool because it's in WordPress. If you are away from your regular computer, that maybe in your own browsers you have tools, or in your own computers you have tools that do all this, this is inside WordPress. Okay, so on the front end, you can do this. But the other thing is, notice how when we were on our pages, our sample page, and we went to edit the sample page. Okay, it's not going to show it when you're in the Gutenberg. So let's go turn on Classic Editor. So when you're in the back end of a page on the Classic Editor, you have this. So we can edit this. It will take you to that page, load it up, and allow you to deal with that. So that's one way to do it. Or customize the page template. Again, takes you to the same thing. I believe there's going to be templates and other things that are added. Pro version, they say it's coming. I think this is just something to watch out for. Oh, this is probably where they're going to want designs coming in. But you can jump back and forth with the stylist. Right now, I don't know exactly where it's keeping the style. Some of the stuff that I found, it's putting right into the header. And I have not found other settings options yet. So that also may be coming. All right. And hold on. Let's go. So there is some code stuff that basically it's reloading or requiring certain files multiple times. And that's where we got that error, says it's already been loaded. Okay. There's really one or two items that just to remind you about. I covered these a long time ago. And one of them is if you use Beaver Builder, any of the versions of Beaver Builder, I think it's the pro versions, there is a dashboard welcome for Beaver Builder. That is a very simple solution. So if I go to Beaver Builder, there's dashboard welcome. You can select any of the templates you create with Beaver Builder to show, to replace this whole dashboard area. So you could build a layout style using Beaver Builder. Now, the only reason you do that is if you actually allow clients, customers, visitors to a site to go back here into the admin area. Most of the time, we're probably going to prevent anybody who is not an administrator or anybody who doesn't need actual post page comment access. We're not going to send them here. We're going to create a front end profile management system. So this may not be as useful, but just wanted to remind you that this is a great way where you can create multiple items. Now, where this is also beneficial, watch this. If we create a template, we're going to create a new template, and let's call this support. Add this template. So we're going to launch Beaver Builder for this template. So really the only thing that matters that we're dealing with is inside this box. Ignore everything else. So I'm going to go ahead and we'll just use a very simple, we'll grab a template right now. And I'm just going to, let's not a landing page content. Let's go down here. Here's a simple thing that would be basically the ability for them to, do you need support or find support here? Let's just make it go here so it doesn't wrap, blah, blah, blah. All right, save that, come over here. And then again, we can connect it to whatever you want. You can connect it up to your Sendy account so it sends them in and they're now become on the mailing list. Okay, so I just put this here. I just wanted to add one thing to here. Oh, let's not. Let's just leave this off. I wonder if it will let me. Cancel that. Okay, publish. There we go. Okay, so I've got my little block here. I can go back to the dashboard, go to Beaver Builder, go to dashboard welcome, and then we can assign that everybody coming in will see this. So if I go to the dashboard, basically I'm not going to see it. Let's see if I have another user. Add new. Well, rather than make a new user, you get the idea. What it does is, I wonder if I do that. No, it's going to remove all of these boxes. I'm the administrator, so it's the first administrator. So it's not going to sit or it's not going to take over. Any other administrator or the other users that have been selected, this would show that actual dashboard that we just created, that is the sign-up sheet, would show instead. But the plugin that I really want you to see is the Beaver Builder, where'd it go? Pop-ups. Now, if you use Elementor, they already built something similar, although it doesn't have quite the fine-grained control. They already built the idea that you could create pop-ups and manage things like this. There are like if you use Ultimate add-ons, you can create pop-ups on a page or a modal windows that fly in or out. You can create them on a page. What makes this different, this Beaver pop-ups, is I can sit here and say, okay, we're going to create a pop-up. Let's edit this base pop-up. I don't know what I did. Okay, here's our base pop-up. Again, using like Beaver Builder, in my pop-up options that show up, I can choose things like, is it a modal window or a flyout? The different styles, what type of overlay is going to be used, what size icon, what's the width. Now, that's not going to show specifically in here. And then we can disable on certain items. So once you create this, sure, you can create as many pop-ups as you want. Let's go back to the WordPress admin. There is a pop-up manager. Now, if this is the first time playing around with this and you're playing on a brand new site, this page will give you errors. So what you need to do, if you get not errors, it's just going to have a bunch of pop-up windows that say, can't be found, can't be found, can't be found. You must have the permalinks set. And sometimes you may just need to refresh the permalinks. You have to have it set on something other than plain. Otherwise, this pop-up manager won't work. So what this pop-up manager now allows us to do is, all right, site-wide, when they come in, which pop-up are you going to use? All right, we're going to use the base pop-up. We're going to wait 5 seconds, or maybe if you have a cookie there. Or display this pop-up a maximum number of times to the same visitor. So, you know what? Only show this pop-up once, and then hide it. Whoops. And then hide it for, whoops, hold on. Once. Hide it for 730 days. So that would be like 2 years. Save. So basically that base pop-up will delay for 5 seconds. We come over here. 1, 2, whatever the 5 seconds is. And basically we haven't styled it, but our pop-up just showed up. Again, we didn't put a background on it. We had the same color here. We don't have a shadow. We don't have anything. We'd have to go through and style it. But we can also do on different post types. What about if somebody exits that? Select a certain pop-up. How many times do we want to show it? What if they start scrolling site-wide? Individual posts. So all your post types that you create, you can have different pop-ups. And then you can add items to an individual post. So sample page. So we're going to add sample page to the ability for when they visit the entrance, on the exit of that page, or when they scroll. You can build your entire management system of all your modal windows. And John, yeah, the plugin doesn't need to be updated. Now, if it would be smart on them to actually go in and update like a version number or something so it stays up to date. There are probably a few tweaks that they could do to lower the size of some of this stuff. But if you use Beaver Builder, and again, you want something a little bit more powerful because the other page builder system, sorry, the other way of doing a modal window, hold on, why doesn't Beaver Builder show up? Okay, so the other way, I'm just going to do a quick test. We're coming over here using Beaver Builder, and we go in here and say, do they all have modal windows? I may have to go over here. I know this one has a modal window somewhere. Modal pop-up. So if we were to add a modal pop-up here, again, this is the other type. Like if you're using another tool, sure, you can do display settings on, is it going to be displayed by a button? Is it automatic? Is it showing when they enter, exit, everything? But it's tied to this page, this design. It doesn't have like a global setting that you can choose on or off. It's going to be on this page, on this setting, you can have a modal window. I just think the ability to go in and manage your modal windows from a site is going to prevent the issue of two modal windows or two slide-ins or two types of alerts showing up on the exact same location. If you do it this way, there's only one thing that will pop up on entrance. You're not adding multiple pop-ups. So those are a number of the plugins just to be aware of for this month. A lot of them are just, if you run into certain issues with clients or they need certain tools or solutions, there's a number of people working on a bunch of items that you should keep your eye on. All right. So I hope you have a great rest of the day. I will get this uploaded for replay as soon as possible. And I hope stay safe from whatever storms may be coming your way, because I think I just got an alert that there's a storm coming our way. So take care, everybody. Have a great rest of the Wednesday, and I'll see you guys in Slack.